Okay, welcome to another episode of A Top Beer Shot. This is the episode where we don't really have a shot of beer per se, but you know, the episode is a shot's worth of listening for your listening pleasure. I'm Adrian De La Torre, of course, and here is Timothy Robert Buckner. How you doing, Tim?
Doing good. I am Timothy Robert Buckner still. So that's
you
good.
Still are Got Timothy that right. Robert Buckner. So should we dive right into it, Tim?
You know what I mean? What are we going to do other than dive into it?
Do you know why I want to dive into it, Tim?
Why is that?
Because I'm on a dry dock about to dive in to get this sour apricot by Dry Dock Brewing Company based out of beautiful Ooh. Aurora, Colorado, Tim.
Nice.
I've had this beer in my fridge for the better part of 2 months, I believe.
Really?
That's how long I've been waiting to do it as a shot with you. Exactly. Dry Dog Brewing Company out of Aurora. I've never had a beer out of Aurora. It's funny because
really,
yeah, I've had beers at Denver, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs.
Is Aurora Boulder. Known for their beers?
Well, not necessarily, but I mean, this is the Denver metro area, and you can't throw a rock without hitting a brewery. So I guess I shouldn't I guess I shouldn't be surprised it's here. But it looked very pleasing to the eye. It's a nice green can with a mermaid on it. She has shells for a bra, strapless bra, because, you know, there's shells.
Right.
There's no straps. And, yeah, so it's a sour apricot. Every sweet has its sour. Ralph Waldo Emerson. I don't know if he actually said that, but that's what it says on top of the can. Then on the side, this beer strikes an elegant balance of sour and sweet, refreshingly tart and fruity with bright effervescence. This sour apricot packs rich apricot flavor in every can, while retaining just the right amount of acidity from the use of lactobacillus brevis in the kettle. 12 florins bottle blonde ale brewed with apricot puree, 5.0% ABV. Okay, so you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm going to pour this into my, what is it called? Breakside Brewery Portland, Oregon glass.
Ah.
I really like this glass. I never use it enough. Let's see. Ooh, that has a nice fruity smell to it. You know what's funny is it's fruity but malty at the same time.
That is funny.
I'm getting over the maltiness. I'm not down with the malts as much as I am with the other stuff in beers now. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. I saw that Left Hand Brewery has a Pilsner. But I'm like, oh, do I really want to drink a Pilsner? Maybe that's more of a summer thing. Maybe during the summer I'll have to try that. But during the winter, I just need like darker stuff. You know what I mean? I need hops. Yeah. I need the hops and the barleys and the this and the that, like that kind of thing. Anyway, all right. So that pours very nicely. This looks like a summer beer too. It's got that watery head that really dissipates pretty quick. You know?
Yeah.
Got a nice orange color to it. Oh yeah, that definitely has a very that made me cough a little bit too. Has a very strong apricot a smell in the nose. It smells really good. Let's give it a sip. Ooh, that's definitely sour, but not in a bad way. Sour, and you get the maltiness. It almost reminds me of a Ghost, but without that fizziness that a Ghost has. You know, the sort of salty fizziness that you'd find in a Ghost beer. But very sour and malty. Not too malty though. Nice peach, no, not peach. Apricot flavor. This is pretty good. I found the score on Rate Beer. Not bad, Tim. 84/42. So 84 for the overall rating. 42 for the style. So you know, I guess I feel like the style score is more from the users of Rate Beer, and the overall is more from Rate Beer itself. Or am I wrong? Because I feel like on Rotten Tomatoes, you get the I'm not wrong. Is that what you're saying?
If it fits the style and if it's just the overall beer itself.
Yeah, but this is actually really good though. Like I said, it's a little bit sour and tart, but not too much. And you have the apricot flavor, which balances really well with everything else. So this is actually really good. I would recommend this. I would honestly expect it to have a little bit of a higher score for the style, but what can you do, right?
Right.
But yeah, this is good. Good stuff. What do you got? What do you got for us today, Tim?
Sounds good. What I have is from San Pedro, California. I picked this up last night at the brewery itself. It's Brewery West, a Belgian-themed brewery over in San Pedro. It's right by the Iowa warship that you can take tours of. It's in the port of Los Angeles, essentially. And it is freshly, it was freshly canned on premises that day. It is the Earth That Was Experimental IPA, they call it. So it is an unfiltered or hazy or what some people might call the New England style IPA. I think that they didn't want to go that far with calling it New England style, so they just call it experimental.
Now, what makes something New England style? I hear that a lot, and I see that a lot in beers, and I still don't really get it.
That's the thing, is it's that hazy, kind of fruity, juicy style. You know, the one, the IPAs that don't look super clear in the color?
Oh, okay.
So it's those hazy,
so that kind of originates from that part of the country?
I don't know if that's even true, but that's just what they call it, but I think it might be. But I, for me, I know that, like, the Chicago breweries are making it, and I don't know if you would even call those New England, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't think Chicago is New England.
Right. A dry hopped IPA brewed with Chinook, Simcoe, and Sentinel hops, with, I guess it's Brutro yeast, which is obviously some kind of French Belgian style. It's a Belgian themed brewery, so that's kind of where they're coming from on that. As I said, it was freshly canned just yesterday. When I talked to them, they said we even canned extra, just to have enough for the weekend. When I was talking to the guy at the brewery, they're selling pound size or pounder size cans, 16 ounce steel cans for $5 a pop. You get a break in or actually these are $14.50 or these are $4.50 per can. You get a break in price if you buy the four packs. And they're even letting you mix and match the four packs with other beers that they had canned, which was nice.
That's pretty cool.
The other beers were $5 each. These ones, as I said, $4.50. Really cool little brewery. I mean, they're opened up in a huge space. I've been there a couple times now.
Is it huge? Is it huge, Tim?
It's huge. It's a big deal. Or it's bigly, I guess is what you say, right? Bigly.
Bigly.
It is a nice, fantastic space that they seem to put a lot of money into. I had heard early on from some of my friends in the biz that the brewery was having trouble keeping up with demand for on-site in the beginning. For the first few months, they were barely able to have enough beer to satisfy their customers coming into the brewery, which is a great problem to have. Since then, they've actually added even more tanks. They got a huge system. I mean, if you go in there, you can see they have tank after tank after tank. They have so many tanks in that place. They're constantly brewing a lot of beer. They've expanded their beer menu. When I went in there last night, they had, I think they had four more beers on tap than I had ever seen them have on tap before.
Four more beers.
That's what we're always chanting here on the podcast.
That's what we were chanting yesterday. Yesterday was inauguration day.
Yes. So yeah, it's nice to see a brewery really putting a lot of money and effort into everything. I mean, they got their own, very obviously they have their own canning system, because all the other canning system or all the other canning companies that you see do the cellophane wrap on the cans, where it's a plastic sheet around the can that's then, I think, shrink wrapped onto the can with a cool design and label all over it.
Yeah.
They have just the plain steel cans that they're obviously putting stickers on, just circular stickers for the beers right on there. So they're doing it all in house. They have their own canning system. They have lot of barrels. They have a lot of space. They're doing it all, which is fantastic to see. From a brewery that makes great beer, doing so well. I mean, as I said, they're in Port of Los Angeles. They're not right in the middle of the city, but they're kind of a destination. They always have food trucks available. They're right next door to a cool little spot called Crafted that does a lot of, like, arts and craftsies type stuff for sale, different arts and jams and jellies and all kinds of random stuff in there from different vendors. So it's a nice little make-a-weekend-of-it place to go. Stopped off there last night before I went to a wrestling show, picked up some beers, and happened to see all these cans and bought some cans for today.
Nice.
Open this bad boy up.
What was it called again? What is it?
It is called The Earth That Was, is the name of the beer.
And the Earth brewery That Was. Is
Browery West. This is insanely hazy, but really yellowy. A lot of times you see these hazy IPAs are more orange, mm-hmm. and more kind of tangerine citrus. No, this is yellow, but cannot.
Is it, like, black and yellow? Easy. Black and yellow?
Yes, it is black and yellow. Very shell-toned kind of white cream head with little tiny effervescent kind of champagne bubble style bubbles. Give her a smell. Lots of hops in the nose, but also a little funkiness from the that Belgian style yeast that I was talking about earlier.
Right.
What's in there? A little fruity citrusiness to it. This is smells great, looks great. Let's see how it tastes, huh?
Let's give it a try. Well, you give it a try.
Really bitter to start out, but then subsides with the kind of biscuity yeastiness.
Yeah.
And then a light kind of citrusy back end, but it's not that juicy. It's probably smart that they didn't call it a New England IPA because it doesn't have that juicy kind of, when you think of citrus fruits that are more on the end of, as I said, the oranges or the tangerines or something. It's a little bit more citrusy in the way of a lime or a lemon or something along those lines. So, yeah. Good citrus, but sharp citrus. Very bitter from the hops to begin with and then mellows out and doesn't leave any residual kind of tasting on the tongue. Super fresh, obviously, brewed and just canned yesterday. This is really fucking good.
It sounds good. I would imagine that doesn't have a rate beer score, maybe? Or a beer advocate?
It does not.
Yeah.
It does not have any kind of score at all. It's a 6% alcohol per volume. And it says that women shouldn't drink it. That's from the government.
What? Pregnant women. Let's not get carried away.
Yeah. Women should drink beer. We do advocate women drinking beer here on the Top Beer Podcast.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. I actually poured the whole can into my glass here because I'm going to enjoy drinking this whole thing.
You can't save a can, Tim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You can save the rebellion. You can save the queen. You can't save a can.
That's a good point. speaking of that, Adrian, let's talk about something that maybe people wouldn't expect us to talk about here, which is the newest Star Wars movie.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen Rogue One yet?
Twice. I even did a podcast about it, which I think you may have listened to. Not sure.
Story Germ.
Follow me at Story Germ. What?
I went and saw it a couple weeks back, and I don't know if we've talked about it yet.
Oh. Well, you have to tell me what you thought about it really quick, because you're the anti-sci-fi fan over here.
I thought it was good. I thought it felt, I hate to say it, but for something that's supposed to be reminiscent and nostalgia for kids, it felt a little soulless. Mm. And I know that that's a weird thing to say, but it did. It felt like it was marketed towards the Star Wars fan, but there wasn't much to it. Am I crazy in saying that?
Well, it's funny because people have for years been saying, there needs to be a dark Star Wars movie, like a more adult-oriented Star Wars movie. And we finally got it. Like, the director wasn't going to go in a certain direction with it because he thought Disney wouldn't approve. And then he find out later, oh, no, Disney's totally fine with you going the dark route. So, by all means. Like, they gave him a pretty good amount of freedom as far as that goes. So, it's funny that you say that it felt a little soulless because it's essentially like a war movie. With soldiers, you know, with boots on the ground, which is kind of what people wanted to see from a Star Wars movie. And, you know, war can be a soulless thing, Tim. So maybe that's fitting that you say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it may fit. But, yeah, it felt like it was a lot of the same tropes. I did like the robot sidekick here in that he kind of played a similar role to, famously, the android that was in the other movies, C-3PO.
But a more cynical version of that.
Slightly more cynical, I would say. And also, what I enjoyed was that he was kind of the other side of the coin when it came to battle situations.
Yeah.
Where C-3PO was more of a bumbling...
butler.
Kind of had... Yeah, butler who had no... had no real skills when it came to a fight and would even have, you know, issues when it came to cunning.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, this android, while he still served the purpose of being a kind of comedy relief character, was serious and an ass kicker. I thought they did a good job there, kind of showing a dichotomy between the characters.
That was a really good character.
But at the same time, it was kind of like it did follow that same trope of robot buddy who just happened to be there to kind of make light of situations and stuff. So there was that issue.
It's definitely tropey. I mean, it kind of has to be. Star Wars, even the originals, are full of tropes that George Lucas borrowed from many other movies and stories and stuff. Like, it's par for the course for a Star Wars movie. So I won't discredit it for that, but let me ask you really quick, what was the thing that you best liked about it? What stood out to you the most? Any particular scene or character or moment? What was it?
Well, I was going to talk about George Lucas's ability to be, or not even George Lucas really, but it is in some ways George Lucas, and the Star Wars verse being really inclusive, and how I thought it was funny that the last movie, which I didn't see, what was it called? Like
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. I heard a lot of alt-right-ish type people complaining about it being a little bit too... But if you think about the Star Wars universe has always been all-inclusive. And one thing that I like is, I think in the early movies, I don't know, you know, I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but I don't think it was ever made super clear in the earlier movies. But in this movie, they didn't say it outright, but I like that they're kind of doing a very clear... not retcon, but reinforcement of the idea that Princess Leia is a Jedi, which I think is something that was not super clear early on in the film series. And it's nice to now make that clear that she is just as equal, and she, you know what I mean? That she is a Jedi too.
Well,
and that Jedis are an all-inclusive group, and they can include black people, and they can include women and different kinds of aliens as well. So, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just think that was interesting, and it was nice that they put that in there. What were you going
to
say, though?
Well, to correct you, and forgive me, I don't want to be that guy, but she's not technically a Jedi. She's force sensitive, as we call it in the Star Wars universe, which means that she could be a Jedi if she trained for it. And I'm sure there's some EU, some expanded universe books and stuff where that does happen, but that's not really canon to the movies and stuff, so that I can't really count that. But
well,
so
she's this not, movie they call her a Jedi.
No, in Rogue One, Princess Leia. You're talking about Carrie Fisher's character, right?
Yes.
No, Leia. I don't recall
when they're at the rebellion. The I don't know his name, but the kind of famous character actor is talking to one of the chancellors, the kind of more demure British lady, and she asks him about calling his Jedi friend.
Yeah,
and
the person
calling was Princess Leia.
This is why I'm here. They're referring to Obi-Wan. You see, that's the connection this movie has to the originals, because if you've seen the original Star Wars A New Hope, the movie starts out with Leia trying to get these plans into R2-D2 to get to Obi-Wan Kenobi, where there's a message for her from her father, where they're asking him to help him with the rebellion. That's where the famous line comes from, "Help us, Obi-Wan. Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope." So the character, Jimmy Smits is who you're talking about, by the way. Jimmy Smits. It says, Mon Mothma tells Jimmy Smits, yeah, can you talk to your Jedi friend? He's like, yeah, I will. And that she's referring to Obi-Wan. So, but you were on the right track, because like I said, Leia is a force sensitive, but she's not.
Yeah, I've known that she's always been force sensitive. I understood that part.
Okay. But yeah.
Because her, what is it, background. But I think that she does at some point in the universe become a Jedi. Who knows? That's not in the movies, as you say now. But
yeah,
it's something to think about and something to just like be. It's cool that they do that.
It's cool that you picked up on that. I'm glad that you got that reference, sort of. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because
right.
It's all, that's how it's all connected, you know? So.
But I did have a problem because I didn't watch the last movie, that I thought that the main character in this movie was the same main character from the other movie. It's like. She dies in the end, making out with this guy, and then I wasn't sure about the time frame. The time frame threw me off because I thought Vader was dead in the last movie that they made, but I guess it's a little
confusing. But basically, this movie takes place right before the original movies take place, which
right.
the prequels did too. But this movie takes place between the prequels and the original trilogy. So,
and one thing that I thought was interesting, I'll say, about this movie. And while I enjoy, as I said, I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was like, you know, the deepest, most clever movie of all time, but it served its purpose.
Uh-huh.
One thing that I thought was interesting was that it really felt like the plot of this movie was like a movie to answer the kind of pedantic questions that you would hear on, say, like the Clerks movies or something, where like, if they build this giant Death Star, why would they put that one hole that you can shoot? And then they answer it by saying, oh, because it was done intentionally to help the rebellion take down the Death Star.
And it's funny that you say that, because people are still going to be pedantic no matter what. They're still going to have like questions like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Like, why is that still like that if that's the case? But I get what you're saying. Like, that does answer that ultimate question. It's like, how the hell did the Death Star have a big gaping hole that you just shoot a couple of proton torpedoes and it destroys the whole thing? Well, the guy that created it did put it there on purpose as a fuck you to the Empire. So
right.
So there you go.
But yeah, I liked a lot of stuff about it. It's not Lawrence Fishburne. Forest Whitaker was fantastic in just such a small role, but still bringing so much character.
I love the way I love his cadence and his voice and the way he talks, you know?
Yeah, he's such a good
lies,
actor.
Lies, deceit, save the rebellion, save the dream. Like, it's so passionate, you know what I mean? It's so great.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was kind of cheesy and out of place, but like you say, it serves its purpose, right?
In some ways, Star Wars, and even definitely in more ways, Star Trek, due to Captain Kirk, which is, what's his name? What is that gimmick's name? Shatner.
William Shatner,
being a kind of a stage actor, ham, was definitely this way. But in some ways, Star Wars is similar in that it is a sci-fi space Shakespearean play.
It really is, so yeah. It's a space opera, more accurately. Yeah,
so having extra acting, over-the-top acting, is kind of encouraged in some ways. I liked the tank. I loved them showing Vader in that kind of tank that I guess he has to hang out in to try to regenerate what he can of his fucked up body to stay alive. That was pretty cool little scene. Always like stuff like that. So I thought all in all it was good stuff. I thought it was weird with the tentacle thing that can tell if you're telling the truth or not, how it like fucked with the ship captain's brain. Then it came back.
There's always weird shit like that in these movies, though.
Yeah, I was like, well, why is he like fucked up, but then like he was able to talk, or like he was able to put everything back together later
on. Let's chalk it up to temporary mental paralysis.
Got it. But all in all, I thought enjoyable movie. There's worse ways to spend a couple hours of your day. Yeah, I don't know. What about you, Adrian? Anything interesting recently that you want to get into?
Not too much, but I just want to say that it makes me happy to know that you enjoyed it. It really does. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, because I really enjoyed it. I saw it twice, like I said. I can't wait for the DVD, the Blu-ray to come out, because that's going to be fun watching it here at home. And I wanted to say one more thing. But you were talking about diversity earlier, and it's funny because this movie has a pretty diverse cast. Like the captain dude that you were talking about, I think he's Indian-American or Middle Eastern descent somehow. You know, the other guy is Diego Luna. You know, he's a Mexican actor. He's been in a lot of movies actually written in Mexico, and then he, you know, crossed over to the good old US of A, and now he's doing stuff for us. And then, you know, the lead character is a woman. Like, I know that the alt-right and groups like that will talk shit, but it's like, it's good to see diversity in movies, like in the casting in movies. Like, we need that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's great.
Right.
You know, and I saw an article that like people, like there were so many like Star Wars fans in Mexico and stuff that were so happy to see a Mexican actor, a Mexican person finally having a starring role in a Star Wars movie. Like, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So it's like it's a beautiful thing to see, I think, diversity in that sort of way. And I wish we would see more of it. So and I think it served the movie well too, you know, in a way.
And Diego Luna was the kind of the Han Solo character. Exactly. I don't remember what his name was, but he was fantastic. And I don't know if he was supposed to be like a Spaniard or he was supposed to be Mexican or what, but he came across to me as like part of a French rebellion. I think that's just kind of a stereotype because there is that French rebellion. But
Viva he may have resistance.
Been,
yeah.
But he may have been that he was supposed to be Spaniard, but he was fantastic. And there is that kind of thing about the Star Wars universe is that it can be culturally ambiguous because it's not modern time.
Exactly. Yeah. These people could be from anywhere, you know.
Yeah, so he played a very swarthy, interesting character, and he was really good in here. So
yeah, Diego Luna is a great actor. I've seen him in a couple of movies. He's a really good actor, actually.
So he was solid. I thought it was interesting in the beginning when they showed that the main character, was her name Rey? Was that her name?
Jin.
I don't know. Jin. Rey is from the other movies, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Jin, when she was a baby, had like a stormtrooper toy, which got me wondering some questions about that, which maybe you can answer, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe you're the guy to ask.
From what I've read about that, I think the idea behind it was that like the original or the prequel movies sort of set it up for, because there was this big clone war. So if there was a big war and stuff with soldiers and they wore certain types of uniforms and whatever, eventually someone would say, hey, let's make toys, let's sell toys based on that. Like how you see, you don't really see World War II or Vietnam toys, but you do see like there are, you know, World War II reenactments, Civil War reenactments. Like there's always something that kind of pays tribute to a war and stuff that was fought in the past. And why wouldn't there also be maybe action figures or stuffed dolls or stuff like that? You know? So
yeah, that's, no, that wasn't even what I was going to question, honestly, because I totally get that. It's like Army Men, right? There's the little green Army Men toys and G.I. Jones that have existed forever. Yeah,
exactly.
Existed forever. Kids
it's
have
kinda like that.
Doesn't mean anything. But my question more was when it comes down to the Clone Wars, which I know that there was a Star Wars movie called The Clone Wars, correct?
Attack of the Clones, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. But then I guess was it like there was a TV show or something that was Clone Wars?
Oh, yeah. There's,
so I was trying to figure out what the clones were. So are stormtroopers all clones in the stormtrooper costumes?
Not necessarily. There's some people who would be leftover clones from the wars past and from the prequel movies, I guess, and from the shows. But I think in this era of the Star Wars movies where you have stormtroopers, it's actually people who enlisted and became or were forced and had no other choice to become soldiers for the Empire. So it's probably it's a little bit of a mixture of both, but more so people who enlisted.
Okay, and when were the Clone Wars? Were they before all this happened?
Yeah,
were
the Clone Wars were a good 20 to 30 years before even Rogue One took place. So
it
was a while ago.
Clone Wars, what led to the government now being in control, the Empire?
It was part of it, but it wasn't the actual reason for it, no.
Okay.
You have to understand the Emperor is a big character in these movies, and the Emperor was a manipulative politician who was able to scheme his way to the top and be in charge of the Senate and then eventually say, well, I'm going to take over now, and we're going to create an empire, and there you go. To give it to you in a nutshell, I could go into more detail, but you don't want me to do that.
So it was a political thing.
It was a political thing, yeah. That's why the prequel movies get a lot of shit, because they focus on politics a little bit too much for some people's taste, but people don't realize that politics plays a pretty big part in these movies, believe it or
not. Got it.
So.
And the clones are a clone of... We're all clones of...
Jango Fett, Boba Fett's dad.
Fett?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. And
he was
they
the original
just
donor.
Just because he was pretty cool.
I don't know why they picked him, but he was the original donor. I'm sure there's a reason that I could look up on Wikipedia, which is the Star Wars Wikipedia.
Got it.
But I don't know the exact reason. I just know that he was the original.
And so the Empire made a bunch of clones to be their warriors or their stormtroopers?
Yep.
Or was it... Okay. And then they got into fights with people from other planets that didn't want to be taken over by an empire, I'm going to assume.
Yeah,
the rebellion,
basically. Essentially. I mean, It's basically just about it's called an empire. You know, they're have empirical tendencies. They want to take over as much as they can. I mean, that's why people say it's like an analogy for how America is in a way, where we have military bases everywhere and this and that, and we know, and we fuck with other governments here and there. So,
right.
So you can kind of chalk it up to just wanting to take over, just wanting to occupy planets and countries and shit. So
right. And so theoretically, there would be some, because it was a political movement, theoretically, there would be some planets or whatever that were like, cool, we'll definitely just be part of the Empire. We don't care.
Well, yeah.
And they were like into it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And some planets that don't really have much of a choice, because it's like, well, you and what army? Well, we don't have an army, so I guess you don't have much of a choice except
right,
to have you just come in here and just take over our shit, you know?
It's an interesting story, all in all. I would say I definitely recommend going and checking it out. But what I would really recommend is drinking this beer if somehow you can get your hands on this Earth That Was from Browery West here in Southern California. I don't know if they're necessarily planning on distributing more, but they might. These cans look like they have barcodes. They're ready to go, so you could definitely see them in a local store at some point, possibly, especially if you're here in Southern California. Adrian, would you recommend your beer from this week?
I would. Not during the winter, because it's too cold for a beer like this, but I'm telling you, this is a perfect summer beer, Tim. This is a perfect hanging out by the pool beer. So
Nice.
Dry Dog Brewing Company out of Aurora, Colorado. Yeah, and I want to just plug really quick my Twitter account, Adela Boots, and follow me at StoryGerm. Tim, what do you have?
Same old podcast, This Week in Wrestling. This show, we'll do it live. There may be even another episode of We'll Do It Live coming out, which is crazy. It was supposed to possibly be a one-off, but got a lot of good reviews. A lot of people were into it, so looks like it might be coming back.
Give the people what they want, Tim.
Yes, definitely give the people what they want. Look forward to kind of redoing my interview with Carrie Offal. It'll obviously be totally different, but definitely redoing that coming up soon. So all in all, just follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead and listen to me talk a bunch.
Perfect. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week with a fresh new episode of Top Beer.